It can take a lot of steps and a lot of players to get food from its source to your table. The Eat Local movement has certainly shortened the process in some places, but food still involves a lot of people and often a lot of distance. The Medford-Ashland area is now home to the Rogue Valley Food System Network, a chance for people from disparate parts of the food system to compare notes and perhaps coordinate better. And here's our chance to learn more about its formation, organization, and intentions. Greg Holmes is the chair of the Rogue Valley Food System Council. He works for Thousand Friends of Oregon, and he's here in the studio with us. Hi, Greg.
Good morning.
Good to have you here. Dr. Vincent Smith is also a Food System Council member and an assistant professor of sociology and environmental studies at Southern Oregon University. Dr. Smith, welcome to you.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
So tell us about the whole starting of this. What was the original genesis of the project?
Well, I can speak to what a food council is and how we came to be here. So food councils are starting to show up all over the United States, and they play a role very similar to a watershed council in that we bring together disparate stakeholders, all of whom play a role in developing a food system as a whole. Here in our area, that there's a lot of players. It's farmers, it's distributors, it's retailers, and the consumers who play a huge role in deciding how the food system operates. And for us, that began just a few years ago.
Yes. A couple of years ago, the Oregon Food Bank decided that they needed to look, you know, providing food boxes by itself wasn't a long-term solution to hunger issues. So they wanted to look at food systems, excuse me, around the state, and they funded studies that that looked at the food systems by county. And the Jackson County one was completed a couple of years ago, and it found that we have a lot of great things here. We have a lot of farmers. We have a lot of enthusiasm for local food. We have some pretty good programs in place for people who don't have access to food, but there were also big gaps in the system, obviously. And one of the recommendations that came out of that was that somebody needed to be working with all of the players to kind of facilitate collaboration and make sure that we have all those gaps filled and you know, kind of leverage the successes of each part into a greater whole.
Give us examples of what some of the gaps are.
Well, for instance, I mean, like I said, we have programs that help people who don't have access to safe, healthy food, but there are still a lot of people, obviously, who don't have that access. We have a study that Vince has just completed here showing, and I'll let him talk about it more, but showing that there's a lot of capacity for more employment in the food system locally and more of a market for the food that's produced locally being consumed here locally.
So is the issue that some people aren't eating enough or just aren't eating well enough or a combination thereof, Vincent Smith?
It's a combination. So what we're talking about here is called household food insecurity, and food insecurity is built around the concept that people should have access to healthy and affordable food. And for those of us here in the Rogue Valley, that could mean that we don't have access to the right foods. It could mean access to no food at all. And so what we're trying to do as part of the Food System Council is to address some of those shortcomings. And they're at the consumption side there around food insecurity, but they're also around production as well. So one of the things that Greg and I talk a lot about is infrastructure challenges. So there's a lot of food that can be produced here, but we are missing some key components of infrastructure, things that once existed in places like the Rogue Valley, like processing facilities and meat processing facilities, all of which are now out of the valley. That makes it very difficult to produce and distribute local food.
That's a big one. I've been hearing about this from food people for a couple of years now. There really is no is it beef processing facility?
That's correct.
What's the shortfall there? Is it just that the regulations are too stringent to have one locally?
Well, what happened locally is similar to what's happened really all over the United States and really internationally, and that is that food system producers have consolidated to very large producers and very large distributors, and those very large producers and very large distributors mandate and require very complex and very expensive pieces of infrastructure. And so they have become much, much farther and fewer between and harder for those of us who live in rural parts of the state to access.
All right. So for a larger company then, or a larger conglomerate, whether it is in fact a company or a co-op, the fact is that it's cheaper for them to go ahead and haul things across great distances because they have the economies of scale doing their processing in one central place.
That's correct.
So how does one work around that kind of thing? I mean, you've got regulations in the way. You've got probably potentially a lack of producers as well. and maybe a lack of expertise.
Well, one of the things that we can do and what's happening other places is that there is a lot we can do on a regional scale. So it's true that we can't put together a processing facility of the scale or the size that perhaps someone could if they were in the middle of a Midwestern farm economy. That said, much of what has been developed can be scaled down into a place where it's both very safe, it's very efficient, and very cost-effective to run on a regional scale. So there's been a lot of talk about what could we do on a local level to bring back some of that infrastructure in a scaled-down way that's appropriate for what we do here.
We're talking about the Rogue Valley Food System Network with Dr. Vincent Smith, who's a member of the Rogue Valley Food System Council, and he's Assistant Professor of Sociology and Environmental Studies at Southern Oregon University. Greg Holmes is here as well. He's the chair of the Rogue Valley Food System Council, and he works for 1,000 Friends of Oregon, the Land Use Watchdog Group. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange at 800-838-3760, anywhere in a listening area, 800-838-3760, or send us an email to jx@jeffnet.org. Greg and Vince are both up on our Facebook page as well, if you'd like to check them out in our studio here. Is there a particular emphasis in the Rogue Valley Food System Network, Greg, on eating local, or is that not necessarily one of the major points?
Oh, it is one of the points, yes. And it's only part of what we're doing, but yes, it is one of the points. And we're going to be talking some about that at this event we have coming up on November 19th at the Medford Public Library, discussing the there will be a panel discussion where we'll be talking about some of the efforts that we have to build the local markets that Vince is talking about, rebuild some of the infrastructure, and how citizens can connect into those efforts.
When you write, I know, Dr. Smith, about food system design, is there often no design? Is it often just a case of accidental, this is what cropped up, or this is what was created over years of action or inaction?
I actually don't think it's accidental. I think it's designed by a smaller group of people than perhaps a population would like to think. And so when we talk about food system design, this is a transparent process. The stakeholders are identified. We know who is involved in this process, and it involves people from the production end as well as the consumption end. So each of us as consumers play a role here. I think there are a lot of situations where a food system design is very limited by who has interest and control over that system. What we're trying to do in many ways in the Rogue Valley Food System Network is encourage people to engage, whether that's as a consumer and what we buy, or whether that's as a producer and choosing to produce in ways that are environmentally sustainable and economically beneficial to our area.
I know you're a sociologist and not an economist, but I mean, some of this is marketplace dependent, isn't it? I mean, if people are buying certain things and indicated the desire for them, they will show up on the market?
That's right. In fact, much of the work I've been doing recently has been socioeconomic by nature. So we've got a couple of challenges, really. One is that we don't have a huge market of people here who are interested in buying locally produced food. So we have more food being produced locally than we can sell here locally. And so there are good farmers doing great work to move some of that food to other parts of Oregon and Washington through more regional distribution networks. Those individuals, and I think the council, would like to see a lot of those dollars stay here. And that revolves around creating a market here for locally produced food. It also means that some of our producers need to look at ways that they can access more standard conventional retail establishments rather than just a farmer's market or a co-op. And so that we have an interest in finding ways to help people connect with those larger grocers as well.
Are there some barriers then? I mean, if for example, somebody, you know, has a farm that may be a half a mile from the nearest big box grocery store, do they sometimes have barriers in an ability to actually sell their wares at that store?
Absolutely.
You're both nodding yes.
Absolutely. You know, an organization, a large big box supermarket, isn't going to buy a half a pound of tomatoes from the local farmer. It's too complicated for them to pull that off. The purchasing agreements would be extremely difficult. They need to bring in pallets worth of tomatoes, not half a pound of tomatoes here and there. So there's a need to aggregate food, which is one of the things we're working on the council. There's also a need to work with those large supermarkets to determine better ways for them to purchase. So if their biggest concern is that this is difficult for us, is there any way that a food system network or food system council can make it easier for them that would encourage them to buy from local farmers?
So in essence, you really have two systems, don't you? I mean, you have a system where things that are made locally are sold locally, and a system where things that come in from somewhere else are sold.
Yeah, for us, those are one and the same, but you have what some might view as a preferred system and another as a conventional system. I can't speak for the council, I'll speak for myself. And I think that there's a place for both of those systems to coexist. But I think what we're interested in is perhaps switching the balance of those to be slightly more focused on our regional or local scale production.
There was something you said a moment ago about aggregating food. You want to aggregate food. What does that mean?
Basically, that means you asked the question about local farmers selling to local stores. One of the problems, again, is local stores don't want to be dealing with 27 farmers bringing a truck in every half an hour. So if there's a place where the farmers can bring all of that stuff to one spot, and then the stores have the ability to order from that one location, and that one location sends one truck, that's basically the concept of aggregation. And we are working with a local distributing company who is aggregating some of the local produce now in a system like that.
Do you get a situation, though, where some of the farmers would prefer to go to a farmer's market and not be part of an aggregation?
Many of the farmers who are participating in this program are participating in farmers markets as well. What we're trying to do here is expand their markets and their capacity, give them a new market to sell into.
Again, we're talking to Greg Holmes and Vincent Smith of the Rogue Valley Food System Network. They are both members of the Rogue Valley Food System Council, which I assume is the governing body for the network. Greg is the chair. Vincent is the assistant professor of sociology and environmental studies at SOU. Greg also works with Thousand Friends of Oregon. You can join us at 800-838-3760 around the listening area, 800-838-3760, by email jx@jeffnet.org. So tell us then about the rest of the people on the council, Greg, if you would. I mean, the levels of expertise, the kinds of people you have on the council.
Yes. As Vince said, you know, a food system covers production, processing, distribution, the consumers, the whole works. So, and we pretty much have that covered from both counties, Jackson and Josephine County. In addition to Vince, from the education side, we have OSU Extension Small Farms Program, who's working with the farmers. We have a couple of farmers themselves. Thrive, the nonprofit that does economic development, sits on the council. We have the Rogue Valley Farm Corps, who's training farmers. Farm to School sits on it. Jackson County Public Health, the Grants Pass YMCA, as well as a public health, one of the CCOs, one of the local CCOs for coordinated health care. The faith communities are represented by a pastor who sits on the council. So we're pretty broad, as well as a couple of businesses. We have a restaurant and one of the local distribution companies.
It sounds like the people in the food industry have a pretty good grasp of what's going on here, though. Now, as we're talking to food consumers, people who are just looking to buy a better tomato, for example, what's the benefit that you see them getting ultimately out of the Rogue Valley Food System Network?
Well, one of the things we don't know really well is what all of those benefits are. We know that there's certainly benefits economically. So it's possible, though it's not happening presently as a result of complex economic development, it's very possible to produce a cheaper product locally. As oil prices continue to rise, we see a very clear case where local food can be cheaper. And it's not always that way right now, and there's some complex reasons for that. So it's helping consumers understand what those are. And for many consumers, it's more than just education. Teaching an individual how to buy a better-tasting tomato is one thing, but then providing that tomato in a way that's cost-effective is another. And so we do both. We're looking at how do you teach a consumer how to cook, for example. And we have many people in our area, including many individuals here at SOU and SOU students, who either don't know how to cook or can't cook because they live in a place where a stove is not available to them. So we're trying to help people understand what they can do with local fresh produce. It is far easier for individuals who lack those kinds of resources to buy a pre-prepared meal, and that's going to come from food largely that comes from other places, and the money that's used to purchase that product will all go outside of our valley. So what we can do to produce informed consumers and then provide them with cost-effective solutions.
There are some food processors in the valley. Amy's Kitchen comes to mind.
Correct.
Is Amy's Kitchen part of this effort?
I would love to have Amy's Kitchen involved in this effort.
So not yet, I think, is the answer?
Yes, hopefully that's the answer, yes.
Okay. So you have been working on them a little bit, though.
We've been working, you know, we've been in existence a little over a year, and we've been reaching out and bringing new partners into the organization, into the effort, and it's progressing.
I'm curious about some of the other entities that you said are represented on the Rogue Valley Food System Council. For example, You mentioned the coordinated care organizations, which basically are distributing the wares of the Oregon Health Plan at the local level, and the YMCA. Mm-hmm. So you're really taking this to the health end, too.
Absolutely, absolutely. And one of the we're involved in many different projects, our partners are, but one of the projects that on that end that we're actually trying to get together right now with some of the insurance companies and the CCOs is helping them educate their members as far as healthier eating goes and healthier eating habits and where they can get access to the food that would help them eat healthier.
So is there an overall action plan? I mean, has the Rogue Valley Food System Council put together, here's what we want to be in X number of years and here are the steps we take to get there?
Yes, we have. And we have a new website, actually, where people can go to learn a little bit about that. It's rvfoodsystem.org. And it's new, and it's still a work in progress, but it's got some of our material on it right now.
Very new, as in the last 8 hours.
Yes.
Oh, really? So even the one that we were linking to yesterday is going to be different as of today.
Correct.
Oh, good timing on your part.
And people can also come again November 19th to learn more, and we'll talk about that in a moment, I think. But we are working on a work plan for the coming year, and it's pretty broad-reaching, and we're happy to share that with folks.
I think one of the things that we've done that's really unique in terms of developing a food system council is we spent over a year meeting with community stakeholders, meeting with individuals to understand what are the challenges that we're facing here in the Rogue Valley. So it's true that the council is made up of people who have a lot of professional expertise in the field, but that doesn't necessarily mean we know all of the problems or the challenges people face. So we spent over a year in meetings and dinners and conversations with individuals so that we could understand what challenges do people see in terms of developing a sustainable food system, whether that's from the producer's end, understanding what farmers and ranchers need, or whether that's from a food insecure family. So what we have right now is an opportunity to really address those concerns broadly, and that's what the way we're working right now is to address their concerns, not just ours.
Vincent Smith and Greg Holmes are our guests on the Jefferson Exchange, members of the Rogue Valley Food System Council, which runs the Rogue Valley Food System Network. We'll take a couple more minutes with them here on the Exchange. You can join us, 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. I noticed a couple of initiatives that are already listed here, and I mean, one of the things that often gets discussed in talking about food distribution and how it gets to people is this concept of food deserts where people just don't have places within walking distance they can often get to for a store that's got something that doesn't come in a box, has been processed from 600 miles away or something. The Healthy Corner Store Initiative is an interesting prospect. What do you guys got going there?
That's something that came out of the conversations that Vince just mentioned with stakeholders. There are food deserts, the concept of a food desert, where there are neighborhoods where people just don't have access within their neighborhood to healthy food. So there are a couple of smaller markets, the Peach Street Market here in Medford, the Bridge Street Market in Grants Pass are two of them, where there are neighborhood stores, neighborhood markets where perhaps it was harder to get fresh food. You know, you could certainly buy snacks and sodas and that sort of thing. But we've worked with the owners of those stores who are very interested in bringing a bigger variety of food back into their stores and then done some events in the neighborhoods to promote that with the people who live in the neighborhoods so that they're aware that they have access to a slightly broader range of things there. And those two stores are seeing some changes, and it's pretty exciting.
There are existing efforts, I know, particularly through Access in Jackson County, to offer some cooking programs to let people know how to prepare healthier meals and not just open a box and throw something in the microwave. These are behaviors, I think, that can be fairly difficult to change, though, as has been demonstrated in the past. So how do you approach that level of things and get people interested in eating stuff that comes from nearby and is healthier for them?
Well, let me just say that, yes, changing behaviors is extremely complex. This is I've spent my professional life trying to understand how behaviors change in regards to environmental and food-related issues, and it's not easy. And one of the things that we know is that this classic idea that if you change someone's feelings to something that they will change their behavior doesn't always work. In fact, it rarely works. What actually works more frequently is if you change people's behaviors, their attitude towards the behavior will change. And so in these cases, what we're doing is not so much trying to convince people who don't want to eat local to eat local, but to providing local food that's easy for them, that is the most affordable, it's the most accessible, and then they change their behaviors by virtue of the simplicity. It's a concept called virtual environmentalism. That is to say, you make this the easiest choice to make for people.
So you put it in their hands, and they like it, and it's reasonably yes. priced, and from there the behavior changes, and their feelings don't really have to change then.
That's correct. Right. And you start out early. Certainly this is the work of Rogue Valley Farm to School. So you allow young children to taste fresh apples or to provide them with fresh tomatoes at a tasting in their cafeteria. And this makes it very easy for them to get a hold of the idea of fresh local food early in their life. That makes it easier to change a behavior, but it's still not a perfect science.
Let's make sure we mention one thing other than tomatoes, because it seems like our only example so far.
Sure, I can think of many examples. So our area produces a wide range of products, everything from, you know, Swiss chard, kale. We're actually in some of these Peachtree Market examples. We're providing a range of products. One of the things that we have been allowing people to taste is squash. So you can take hard squash as an example of something that not everyone's familiar with how to cook. In fact, I recently watched a SIU student attempt to eat a hard squash out of the field raw.
Ouch.
It is not the easiest thing to accomplish. So teaching individuals what these products are and how you eat them is a really fun thing to do for me.
Okay, as we go, the event is November 19th at the Medford Public Library. What time?
7 o'clock. The doors will open at 6:45. Mm-hmm. It's a panel discussion with four of the members of the council talking about some of the projects we're working on. Representative Peter Buckley will be doing some opening comments for us, and we'll talk more about some of the challenges and some of the programs that we've hinted at here.
And that is the Rogue Valley Food System Network, November 19th at 7 o'clock at the Medford Public Library. Greg Holmes and Vincent Smith, thanks so much for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you so much.
Thank
Quick
you.
Break, and then back with Garrison Keillor.
Thank you.